26. Red Wing woke from a blurred dream of swimming in a warm ocean, lazily drifting, to a melodious call from the bridge. He hated buzzers in his cabin, and so the strains of Beethoven's Fifth drew him up with their four hammering notes. If he didn't answer within 10 seconds, it would double in volume. He got to it in 9. Yeah.
Captain, the smart coins aren't reporting in, Ion Ali said in a tight-clipped voice. In task rotation, this was her week on the skeleton watch. It was 4:07, ship time.
How many?
He was still groggy. All of them. Their hail marks just winked out. I had them up on the big board along with full stereo visuals and optical. Their hails started disappearing at angle 287, and a wave of them swept across the real space coordinate representation. It took, let's see, 149 seconds to sweep over all of them. I can't get a response hail from a single one.
Sounds like an in-system mouth.
I checked that. The in-sys artilect says nothing's wrong.
You called on the other two?
I brought them up into partial mode to save time. With just their diagnostic subset running, I got them to review whole system stats for the last hour. They say there's nothing wrong.
The full artilect is right, then.
His mind scrambled over the problem, got nothing.
Run it again, and direct, for an all-spectrum search. Plus look at all the particle count indexes. Everything we've got.
Yes, sir. Shall I call?
Right, Carl and Fred.
Yes, sir.
I'll be there pronto.
He made it in under 2 minutes. His onboard coverall slipped on easily. He had been losing weight lately, working the weights and doing pace running, and he used Velcro shoes. Ion Ali's brow was creased with lines he had never seen before. Worry, not fatigue.
Nothing unusual in the all-spectrum, she said, voice high and tight. Particle flux is normal. The magnetosonic and ion cyclotron spectrum is as usual, pretty much, but the Alphen wave spectrum power is up nearly an order of magnitude.
The Insys Artilect visualized the spectrum, cast over the schematic of their near-space environment. It presented as a green front of waves rolling over the zone of the smart coins, silencing each as it swamped them. With an on-screen slider bar, Ion Ali moved this map backwards and forward in time.
I wonder how these magnetic waves could turn off our coins.
Tumbling them, I would think, Carl said. He had come in quietly with Fred just behind. Alphen waves can non-linearly decay into waves short enough to be of the same size as the coins. That tumbles them and can kill their navigation.
And maybe turn them off, too, Fred added.
Carl pointed to the wave sequences. I spread out from the jet, notice. An example of what my language has a single word for. Vernichtungswille. The desire to annihilate.
So this is the folk reply to our first negotiation?
Ion Ali asked.
Looks like, Fred said. Say, what's that?
The back time display ran into earlier hours, and Fred reached over to freeze it, march it forward. As he did, a blue wave rushed across the entire display space. He backtracked it, shifting out to larger frames.
Look, it traces back to the jet. What's blue mean?
High-energy ions.
Ion Ali thumbed the resolution until they could make out a snarl in the jet itself. It was a knot of magnetic stresses that tightened, fed by smaller curls of magnetic flux that rushed outward along the jet.
Look, Fred said. Kinks came purling along the jet, moving fast. They converged in that knot, and here comes the blue.
Carl nodded. From that we get the Alphen waves. Very neat, really. They can control the magnetic fields in their jet, focus them.
To kill our coins.
Red Wing looked around at them.
To show us what they can do.
A silence as they looked at him, as if to say, what do we do?
Officers at the bridge, I want you to fly a small satellite over the rim of the bowl. We haven't got any recon of the outside of this thing, and Ion Ali reports that we got a stray signal from Cliff's team just hours ago. It was text only, so they were under a mirror zone. If we can put a relay sat within range of them on the outside, maybe we can make a stable link.
Fred looked at Red Wing for a long moment.
You want to risk a satellite?
I think we need to know how far these folk will go, Red Wing said.
He kept his tone mild and his face blank.
As for further measures, I have a brief from Carl, giving him a nod, and we will meet in the mess at 800 hours to discuss it.
A pause to let this sink in. Time to go public, he figured.
Dismissed.
He started the meeting with news. Ayan Ali delivered it, standing beside an image that flickered onto their wall screen. All exec crew were arrayed around the biggest table on the starship, coffee smartly set in front of them, uniforms fresh pressed from the steamer presser, everybody aware that this was not just another damn crew meet. Grimly, she said, "We launched our satellite toward the nearest bowl rim. It is a microsat with ion drive, so it accelerated fast. I took it over a mountain range that neighbors the rim edge. See the picture sequence?" A set of stills ran, in time jumps that made the craggy mountains below zoom past. Their peaks were in permanent snow despite the constant sunlight. Red Wing supposed this meant that the atmosphere was thin there, and the outer skin, which they now knew was quite cold, was only a short distance away. The chill of space kept water frozen out. Now the scene stuttered forward to show the bowl rim approaching. The sat probe scanned forward, aft, both sides. At the far left edge, the atmospheric film shimmered, keeping air confined. On the left, a small bright light appeared. "I stop it here," Ayan Ali said. "Note the near UV burst on this view. It appeared within a microsecond frame, apparently a precursor."
"Two?" Carl wondered.
"This. Next frame."
Ayan Ali pointed to a bigger white blotch at the same location to the sat probe's left. Her smile had a sardonic curve.
"And that is it?"
Carl asked. "What happened? Where's the next frame?" Ayan Ali gave them a cold smile.
"There are no more. It stopped transmitting. Here's an X-ray image of that region. I had it running all during the flyout just in case."
They could make out the dim X-ray images of mountains and bowl rim. Apparently, this came from minor particle impacts of the solar wind. At the very edge of the rim was a hard, bright dot.
"That's our probe dying. From spectra and side-scatter analysis, I believe the killing pulse, which we saw the UV precursor of, was a gamma-ray beam."
"From where?" Red Wing knew the answer, but he liked to let Ayan Ali keep the stage.
"That big cannon-like thing farther along the bow rim, sir."
"It's an X-ray laser."
Ayan Ali shook her head. "This image comes from secondary emissions. I can tell by looking at the spectrum. Also, I had a gamma-ray detector taking a broader picture. It gave this."
Another bright dot. This time there was no background at all, just a point in a black field.
"The power in this image is 5 orders of magnitude higher than the X-ray fluence."
He said flatly, "So we were right. It's a gamma-ray laser." Red Wing looked at Beth. Ever since she returned, he had asked her to attend tech meetings, reasoning that she might have insights called forth by new events. "As far as I know, we never found a way to go that high in photon energy. Did you see any signs the folk had tech like that?"
Now Beth shook her head. "Weapons weren't really around us, or maybe we didn't even recognize them as weapons. They didn't need them, I guess. We were trapped."
Ayan Ali said,
"Weapons of this class would be very dangerous on a rotating shell world. Blow a hole in the ground and you're dead."
Carl said, "There was an Earthside program to develop high-frequency lasers long ago. I mean, even before we left. And it never got lasing to gamma energies. At those tiny wavelengths, a laser could focus to very small areas, so you wouldn't need very much power to blow something to pieces." Fred said,
"This is bad news. Now we can't fly a probe over the rim. They can kill any sensors we send out. We're bottled up."
"No doubt they expect us to come back to them and ask for a negotiation," Ayan Ali said.
"Which we won't do," Red Wing said. Nobody said anything. Time to change direction. Sometimes that jarred loose a fresh insight. He leaned forward, fingers knitted together. "Beth, do you think that the folk would ever let us go forward to glory?" Beth sighed and looked at the screen, where the explosion of their probe was frozen in time.
"They have a very hierarchical society. The big one who interrogated us, Memor, acted as if she owned the world. It's hard to think they'll let us go and reach glory first."
Ayan Ali said,
"Which we certainly could do, since we won't be facing their jet backwash."
Red Wing remembered a lecture on alien biospheres during flight training, in which someone said, "Humans and animals regard each other across a gulf of mutual incomprehension.
With aliens, that has to go double. Yet here, he was trying to figure out the negotiating strategy of an alien mind, immersed in a civilization uncountably old. He let them toss ideas around for a while to get them used to their situation. Sending the probe out to get destroyed had given the right edge to this, he decided, and it had laid to rest any notion that the folk were bluffing. So. He let the pause grow. They were so quiet, he could hear the whisper of the air circulation. Let's send a reply. Carl got to speak and flicked on the wall display. It showed the jet in an extreme view, magnetic field lines in ruby, the tubes of bright plasma they contained glowing orange, the bowl itself sketched in nearby as abstract lines. We can fire a shot across their bow. The jet is pretty narrow as it approaches the knothole. Notice the helical mag fields that funnel and contain the plasma. Very neat. Beth said,
So the idea is...
Fly into it. Disturb the jet. Let it flicker around in the knothole.
They just gaped at Carl. He had a chance to check their teeth, and noted that Beth had an incisor with some ragged damage and stains.
Beth let out a breath.
I flew us up the jet, remember? Remember? It was like taking a sailing ship through a hurricane. Do that again?
For a long moment, Red Wing watched the naked fear play across her face. He recalled the long hours of strain and sweat as the ship popped and creaked, the racking uncertainty Beth had showed as she stayed with it through surges and awful wrenching turns. All the crew had worked to the limits of their endurance. That had been their only real choice. Through it all, he showed no uncertainty. That was his job, and in the end he did not regret it. But this was not a necessity. They could coast here and play for time, but they could not leave, and they were eating their provisions while Cliff's team was in constant danger. He said slowly, I think we need to show them that we are not going along with their agenda, that we will not be docile members of their big club. A long silence. Their faces tightened and mouths compressed to thin white lines. Startled fright, worry, puzzlement. Carl then said, I wasn't thawed when you danced through the knothole, Beth, but I checked this out with Fred. The physics is fairly straightforward. It won't last long, maybe 10 hours. Red Wing could see they were too stunned to take it in. We'll leave the technical aspects for later. There will be 3 crew rated to pilot on the bridge at all times. In fact, all crew present. Warn the fingersnakes to anchor themselves. Carl said formally, I want you all to know I have done calculations and simulations. There is a broad parameter range of what we might face. The navigation artilects have been working full bore to study trajectories, the back reaction of the jet plasma flow on our mag throat. It compresses our prow fields and alters our uptake, but that's mostly good news because we get more thrust from the plasma. There'll be plenty of ions to fuel our fusion burn. I think... Yes, technical aspects come later. Red Wing smiled and tried to look confident. Thanks, Carl. Beth looked him straight in the eye.
We don't understand the folk worth a damn, sir.
Indeed.
I have no idea how they'll respond.
Beth looked worried, and her eyes jerked around the table, looking for support. They understand negotiation. That's clear from our conversation through Tannen Arrive. They've killed our coins, and now our probe. Let's show them we know tit-for-tat, too. They looked hard at him. Ayan Ali still had her slightly wide-eyed, shocked gaze. Fred wore his usual expectant, fixed stare. Carl was trying to look confident. Beth's face was pale and strained, eyes fixed on him. He stood. I want you all to know we'll reply to the folk, but while doing so, we'll navigate toward the jet and make preparations. They left quietly. None of them looked back at him except Beth. She waited until the others were gone and closed the door.
I have to admit it feels good to be doing something. I didn't like being in their prison. Even when we got out, it was into a bigger prison.
Red Wing blinked.
One the size of a whole damn solar system?
She laughed, gave him the high sign, and left.